Speak to us.
Thanks, Paul. Evening, everyone. Hope that you're well. Online, good to see you, or not see you, but hope you can see me okay. We're continuing in Proverbs, so if you've got a Bible, please turn there. I'm going to read kind of four short passages from four different chapters of Proverbs. So we can start in chapter 10. And we'll end in chapter 24. Oh, you guys have done well. You got the verses ready? Check you guys. Awesome. So, beginning Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. It says this: "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." We move over to chapter 11, chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." And then moving over to chapter 17, verse 9. "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." And then finally, chapter 24, verse 17 and 18. "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased and turn away his anger from him." This is God's word to us. So, I was on my way home from Cornwall last Saturday, and the radio was on, but I had three daughters in the back seat, so I couldn't really hear everything that was going on. But there was a kind of a current affairs program, and they were talking about the issues in schools. I think the difference between the kind of public and private schools. And I didn't know who was speaking, and I'm not sure what had been said before, but anyway, she said this line: "What the government have done is unforgivable." And suddenly, my kind of attention was grabbed. And I turned to Elle and said, that's a very strong thing to say, unforgivable. I wonder what's happened. So I got back, and as I began to prep for this evening, I thought I wanted to find what this story was. And so I went on search, and I think I've found it. Daily Mail, this is the headline: "Refusal to make contingency plans for schools during pandemic unforgivable, says report." So this is an official government-sanctioned report, and they have said that the way the government have dealt with schools is unforgivable. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to like the government or not like the government. I'm not here to talk politics. But it's interesting, we're not talking here about a marital affair. We're not talking here about an abuse scandal. We're not talking here about a mass murderer. We're talking about a decision that some government minister maybe has made or some historical issues in schooling, but it's unforgivable. That is strong language. And so it was interesting, though, as I searched for this story, I found a number of other news articles talking about things being unforgivable, even over the last few weeks. Let me read you some of them. Barbara Streisand, any Barbara fans? She says that Donald Trump's presidency was unforgivable. That was in one of the papers. Juventus, the foreign football team, say that they made an unforgivable mistake after a racist tweet. Jamaica's 100-meter bronze medalist out of the 200 meters after an unforgivable act. And it turns out that that act was that she didn't run as fast as she could. She kind of held back the speed a little bit. Unforgivable. And it's unforgivable to hold the Olympics in Beijing, apparently. And absolutely unforgivable that a dementia patient left wandering the streets. These are all headlines from the last few weeks in the newspapers. And finally, Harry and Meghan's unforgivable act on the Queen. So it seems that our society is quite happy with that word. When the woman on the radio said that what the government did is unforgivable, there was a round of applause. People cheered at what she said. I think our society is not great at forgiveness. I don't think our society does forgiveness very well. In fact, we're in this weird time, aren't we, in our society, where people can go online and they can search out things that you said maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago. Maybe, you know, think how different you were 10 years ago. Maybe something you said on Facebook, and people are being sacked from their jobs because of something they said so many years ago. I don't think our society does forgiveness very well. And in fact, I picked out an article from the I newspaper, and it was an opinion piece written by Emma Barnett. And she said this, I found this really intriguing. She's not a Christian. "We are living in a time when forgiveness seems in short supply and mistakes are rarely allowed without the most extreme of consequences, like someone losing their livelihood or, much worse, people taking their own lives as they fear public shaming and never being allowed to rejoin society." Our society is not very good at forgiveness. I don't think they do it very well. We hold things against people for a long time. People are not really forgiven. But as Christians, this should be not the case. We are meant to stand out, aren't we? As we've been told in 1 Peter, we're meant to look different than the world. And I think this may be one of those areas, a practical way for us to look different to the world is the way that we forgive. So we turn to the Bible, and what the Bible says is hard. Mark Twain famously said this, "I'm not troubled by the things in the Bible which I do not understand. I'm troubled by those things which I do understand and which I find very difficult to measure up to." It's true, isn't it? There are lots of bits of scripture, a couple that I can say, I really have no idea what that's saying, or that's really hard to understand. Whereas when it comes to forgiveness, it's really simple. A toddler can understand it, but it's really hard to do. When the rubber hits the road, are we willing to forgive others? We need to. We have to, because forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel, isn't it? Our God is the creator and sustainer of the world, who is abounding in steadfast love, who forgives our iniquities, and in fact has shown this most beautifully, most perfectly, in sending his only son to die in our place, and so died for our sins. So you have always been forgiven more than you would ever forgive. The idea then is that as you realize how you've been forgiven, as you respond to that, filled with the Holy Spirit, that should make you be able to be someone who forgives. Jesus talked very starkly about this. There was a point in Matthew 18 where Peter had a word with Jesus and said, "Look, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive people? Because they're well getting on my nerves and I just can't be bothered." And Peter said, "What, maybe 7 times, the kind of the perfect number?" And Jesus said, "Maybe 7 times 7, which in those days was just a number that was really beyond calculation. He's basically saying infinity and then add one. Keep forgiving, keep going, keep going. And then he tells this story of a servant who's brought before a king, and he owes the king 20 years' wages. And he says to the king, "Look, I cannot pay." The king says, "Look, I'm gonna sell your family into slavery. I'm going to stick you in jail." And he says, "Look, I can't pay. Please, just have mercy. Give me enough time and I'll pay it." And the king has mercy. He forgives the entire debt, sends the servant out, and the servant then, the first thing he does, he goes and grabs the neck of someone who owes him 1 day's pay. So 20 years versus 1 day's pay. And he grabs this guy and says, "You owe me some money. If you don't pay me, I'm going to put you in jail." And that's what he does. And so the king hears about this. He grabs the servant back and puts him in jail. Why? Because the whole point is that if we realize how much we've been forgiven, which is so much more than how much we would forgive, this is the heart of the gospel. And Jesus even went this far. These are hard words. Matthew 6, verse 14. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive yours." That's uncomfortable, isn't it? Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Don't forgive, and you won't be forgiven. There's something about forgiveness that is at the heart of the gospel. The whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, talks about forgiveness, but we are here this evening to think specifically about some verses from Proverbs. So let's kind of narrow in our gaze and see if we can what we can learn from these few verses. I think the verse that's really stood out from me from those four that I read is Proverbs 17, verse 9. And so if you're able to put that back up, Johnny, and if anyone's got a Bible, Proverbs 17, verse 9, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love." So what it's saying there is that forgiveness is ultimately tied into love. And part of love is to show forgiveness. You might have been in a relationship before where, you know, someone will say, "I love you." And they'll say, "How? Show me. What's a practical way? How can I know that?" The way that you show love is to forgive. You can't really love someone without forgiveness. So we are then to forgive our loved ones. We're to forgive our friends. We're to forgive our enemies. We're to forgive our neighbors. We're to forgive all people. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. It sounds similar to 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, we need to be careful here because what it doesn't say is a cover-up. We're not saying that if someone sins against you, if there has been wrong done, that we kind of cover it up, that we never speak of it, we never reveal it, you never can tell anybody. It's not saying that we are to cover up the sin, but you are to cover it. It's like the kind of the forgiveness is a grace blanket that you can pull over something when it has been dealt with. The New Living Translation, I think because it was concerned about what the word cover might kind of imply, translates the verse this way: love prospers when a fault is forgiven. So love wins, love conquers when wrongdoing is forgiven. So once it's dealt with, once it's been brought out and you have said your piece and you've explained how this has hurt you, then you're able to forgive and then you let it go. In the words of a Frozen character, I can't remember who I was thinking of. Henry mentioned Frozen this morning. It's been on my mind, obviously. Deal with it, and then you let it go. You release it. Here's an interesting illustration of that. I don't know if anyone's read this before. This is one of my favorite books. It's called The Year of Living Biblically. And it is so funny, and it is just amazing. This guy, who is basically a secular Jew, decided in his 40s he wanted to kind of basically learn about the faith of his forefathers. And so he gets a Bible, starts reading through, and basically sets himself the challenge to live a whole year fulfilling every law in the Bible. Now he realized, basically day one, that there's no way that he could do all of them in the same day. So what he did is he split them all up, because there's 613 in the Old Testament, there's a couple of hundred in the New Testament, if not more than that, it's more than that, isn't there? So loads and loads. And so basically he set to do one law, one commandment each day. And on day 270, he decided to tackle all those laws and commandments about forgiving others. And so he started to think practically, what does that mean? How can I forgive someone? I don't know if anyone I haven't forgiven. And then he remembered that he's got a folder on his phone. And the folder was simply called Stuff. And he purposely called it that, just in case anyone ever opened his phone or saw his phone, that they wouldn't think there was anything weird. Basically, he says, I'm terrible at remembering things. And so I'm going to put all the details in this folder of stuff I need to remember. There's random things like, put out the bins on this day or whatever. But also, he kept a record of every time someone did something wrong against him. Every time someone said something mean. Every time someone had dealt with him badly. And so he had this really big document, this massive thing on his phone. And so he decided then, when he was called on day 270 to forgive, he deleted the Stuff folder from his phone. Because he used that even in arguments with his wife. They'd be having a discussion, an argument about something. He'd say, and in September 1994, half past three, you said that. And that was very mean. And she's like, what? How can I deal with that? Here the idea then, cover is not a cover up. It is to forgive and to let things go and basically to delete the folder. To not use it then as ammunition in the future. I mean, I guess 1 Corinthians 13 talks, isn't it, about keeping no record of wrongs. And that's really what we're talking about here. God is glorified and the gospel is proclaimed when we forgive others. So, you might not be sure this evening whether you are someone who has got unforgiveness in your life. Maybe you think, I don't know if I have, maybe you're convinced you're not, or maybe you know right now that you do. I think Proverbs in our verses kind of point to two areas, two ways that you can check whether there is unforgiveness in your life. Unforgiveness will show itself in two ways. One, publicly, and second, privately. So we move to the second half of Proverbs 17, verse 9. So the second half of that verse says this: but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Here the implication seems to be that the issue has been brought up. The issue has been dealt with. Forgiveness should have been offered. It is covered over. It is no more. But then you decide to keep bringing it up with this person, the person who's wronged you. It's that thing that you just go back to in that loose moment, in that moment late night or whenever it is, you use that ammunition that should no longer belong to you. The folder should have been deleted and you bring it back up. That thing that that they know and you know, they've wounded you, they've hurt you, they've said something, they've done something. They've asked for forgiveness. You've probably even said, I forgive you, but then it's still there. And those moments when out of the overflow of the heart and the mouth speaks and you say that thing again and you remind them once again, just remember you failed me there. Just remember you said that thing. Just remember you let me down in that way. The reality is we're going to mess up. We are in this life together, aren't we? We're in a community church. We should be in each other's lives. We are going to mess up. You're going to say things that you shouldn't have said. You're going to overstep the mark. You're going to do things. You're going to let people down. We've got to know that we can forgive each other. Otherwise, relationships are just going to be done. Who repeats a matter separates close friends. Not just enemies, not just neighbors, not just acquaintances, but some closest people, marriages, friendships can be torn apart by you not forgiving that person. And one of the ways that you can tell that it hasn't happened is it's still there. You keep bringing it up. You keep mentioning it. But there's another way as well. Maybe not just mentioning it to the person. It might be that you decide to mention it to other people. Proverbs 11, verse 13, I remind you, says this. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. There's our covered word again. So maybe to the person, you're like, yeah, we're sweet, it's fine, everything's going well. But then in those weaker moments again, when you're with other people, someone mentions the name of that person, you say, well, you probably should know. They really let me down here. They're very much like this. And something again that maybe should have been dealt with and has already been forgiven, you bring up. You do not let it go. You do not allow forgiveness to take its place, and you use it on other people and spreading what will become rumors and gossip, and the damage will continue to grow and grow and spread. So here's the question. Do you have anyone in your life that you bring up old wounds with? Not just reminiscing, but when those moments that you bring stuff up purposely, wanting to hold that over them again? Or do you find yourself talking to certain people about other people that have wronged you at some point? We've got to allow forgiveness to take its work and remember that you have been more forgiven than you can forgive. So it might show itself publicly, but I think secondly, and maybe more likely and more dangerously, is privately. Proverbs 10, verse 18. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips. This is with the person who's like, on the surface, everything is fine. No issues at all. And actually wouldn't even maybe say anything to anyone else. But there is a secret kind of anger, frustration, hurt that you've allowed to fester, and it becomes hatred to that person. And maybe they would not even know. Maybe you sit next to them, but they would not be aware that there is this thing that you will not forgive. You will not allow forgiveness to take its place. And that makes you a liar. Because you're saying one thing with your lips, but actually in your heart, you do not feel that way. You do not, you have not forgiven. Proverbs 24, verse 17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. So this is further on from that. Maybe not simply anger, maybe not hatred, but actually deep down you know that you're quite glad when things don't go well for that person. Because let's be honest, they deserve it. Let's be honest, they've got a track record with this kind of stuff. Let's be honest, you know, I'm not too angry, I'm not too frustrated when things go wrong for them. This is not the gospel. This is not good news. And it's so easy to fall into this. When we see someone stumble, when we see someone in a hard season, and we just think, that's right, actually. Yeah, they deserve it. I want to introduce you this evening to Eggman. Now, Eggman was not a man. He was a teenager. He was probably only a few years older than me. When I used to live in Tameside, he made my life a misery for a few years. Basically, me and my brothers used to play basketball often, and to be fair, we probably made quite a lot of noise. I can't imagine that we were very gracious neighbors, you know, good neighbors to have next door, these three boys playing basketball up to all hours. Anyway, there's one afternoon, and as we're playing, and obviously I'm Michael Jordan, and anyway, suddenly this egg just explodes on the wall next to me. I'm like, what's that? So we look around, can't see anything, so we head inside, leave it, and we probably didn't play basketball, you know, for a good few days after that. Finally come out again, start playing, doesn't seem to be any issue. I don't know how long it was. I had to check with my brother this story, because for me, it happened for years, and there were dozens and dozens of eggs, but actually, I think he said there was probably only over a few days, and it was probably two or three eggs. But anyway, it happened again, and we're out playing, and we're shooting, and then suddenly, psh, this egg just explodes, and we could tell by the direction that it was one of two houses. We're like, it's one of those two, and we just didn't know where it was coming from. Anyway, the shouts start coming. And so again, we couldn't see who it was. We knew it was a boy, a guy, and there were eggs coming. Anyway, I found out one day very graphically who it was. I was heading up the road from my paper round, and this boy who lived at one of those houses comes out into the middle of the road, and he grabs my bicycle right in my face and says, "Stop playing basketball." And it looked like he was just about ready to drop kick me, and one of his brothers came and pulled him away. Thankfully, and I kind of cycled away like this. I'm nervous to tell the story now. I'm not sure I fully got over it. But it was, it really stuck with me, and it was on my mind every time doing my paper round, most times going out playing basketball. I was aware of this guy, and I have to tell you, I'm not sure if I would say that I've ever hated anyone before, but it was as close as I've got was with Eggman. That guy, just the injustice of it, you know? The unfairness of it, and that he was years older and much bigger, and I could not stand that guy, and I would do everything to keep out of his way, but I had thoughts, evil thoughts, of what I really wouldn't mind if they happened to him. But that's the way it goes, isn't it? But that is not the gospel. And when I got saved, I remember thinking various things over my life. Right? I remember as a kid, the Bible just didn't seem to fit. I saw what the Bible said about forgiveness, and then I saw Eggman, and they seemed very separate. But actually, we need to bring those things together. It's one thing to be in church on Sunday night, Sunday morning, and listen to the words and go, yeah, that seems fine, and I'm sure that's true. But actually, to apply it to situations is hard, isn't it? To actual people that have wounded you, actual people that have spoken horribly about you, people that have done great damage to you. But you have been forgiven more than you could ever forgive. Proverbs is practical advice, and it's good for you. Forgiveness is wonderful for the person who has wronged you, who has sinned, but it is also freedom for you as well. You don't want to hold on to this. You don't want to harbor unforgiveness in your heart, because it does you no good, and it keeps your eyes away from the gospel. So I just want to finish with a few misconceptions. And are we doing Q&A afterwards? So I'm probably not going to be able to stay for the Q&A. I need to get back home. So I'll leave all the leftovers of these misconceptions for Paul to pick up. But I just wanted to say a few kind of misconceptions I think that people can have around forgiveness. Firstly then, a lot of people say this, forgive and forget. Have you heard that? I'm sure you've been told that as well. There's nowhere in the Bible that we are instructed specifically to forget the wrongs done to us. The Bible says that God will forgive our sins, and he kind of removes them so far from him that he would kind of remembers them no more. But there's interesting language there, because God is all perfect, all knowing. I don't think God can, in the way that we would think, just forget things. You forget when something's not really that important to you. And, you know, I was watching a film the other day, and I was like, I forgot what the main character's called. What's he called? Or what's that band I used to listen to when I was a kid? That's not the type of forgetting we're talking about. God has so removed them. He has so removed the punishment that is applied to them that he's so far away from him. But for us, to forget is a very involuntary thing. I don't know if I just told you right now, just forget this thing that I'm going to tell you. You're thinking about it. And automatically, it's very hard to forget. But look, I'm going to forget bands I used to listen to. I'm going to forget actors on TV. I'm not going to forget Eggman. I'm sure I will never forget him. But I don't think, it's kind of almost an involuntary thing. You can forgive, though. And you can let it go. And you can not allow that thing to control you in any way. But I think sometimes we put too much pressure on someone. So you have to forgive and you have to forget this. And then something happens or someone mentions something and you're reminded of what happens and you're flooded with guilt that maybe I haven't forgiven. I think you can have forgiven but not forgotten. That is my personal view. You guys can think about that yourselves. But yeah, I just think sometimes forgive and forget is not always helpful. Another one is, I think sometimes we presume that to forgive means that we ignore justice. I feel this very, very strongly. That yes, things can be brought to light and things can be forgiven, but it does not mean that there are not other consequences. If something has happened to you that is illegal, you go to the police. If something that has happened to you, someone has treated you really badly, you go to the church. If there's just a little dispute between the two of you and you're able to reconcile amongst yourselves, great. But sometimes I think we just go, well, we forgive, we cover it over, and then nothing ever happens again. No, if there is historical abuse, you seek out justice because God is a God of mercy. He's a God of love, but he is a God of justice. Amen? God wants the right thing to happen. He wants the right sentence at the right time. So God wants justice to happen in every situation. So forgive does not mean to ignore justice. And finally, this is a really interesting one and one I hear a lot. You don't have to forgive if the person hasn't said sorry. Again, this is just my own take on it, but I think where it is possible, as much as possible, where you, the person who has wronged you would come to you and apologize, that's the good stuff. That is the sweet gospel. That is what should happen. But sadly, in lots of situations, it doesn't. Many of you know my wife, Eleanor, and her dad had a very complex relationship. He was in and out of prison most of his life, struggled with alcohol misuse, and he caused a lot of damage through having, you know, he had two daughters and just a lot of abandonment issues. He would come home for a few months and then he would leave for 6 months. He'd come home for 6 months and he'd leave for 3 years. He finally left when Elle was seven. And there is a wound there that, you know, she would happily say from the damage of her father on her life. Now, he died a few years ago and there was this hope as he was kind of in the nursing home. I was really hoping he's going to, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if on his deathbed he just said, sorry. It didn't happen. But I can tell you that Eleanor has forgiven him. And it's a powerful thing. It really is. When you see that someone forgives someone who has wounded them so deeply, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Neil Anderson says this: most of the ground that Satan gains in the lives of Christians is due to unforgiveness. It's a scary thought. Forgiveness is powerful. Let me finish with this. The world doesn't understand when we forgive, I don't think. And I don't think we look ever more like Jesus Christ than when we forgive. Because the newspapers will say this is unforgivable, and not running fast enough in the Olympics is unforgivable, and making a decision about GCSEs is unforgivable, and saying something about the Queen is unforgivable. In an actual situation where I could understand people saying that's unforgivable, Christians showed a different way. Do you remember in 2015, the Charleston church shootings, where that young man, Dylan Roof, went into the church and sat through a whole prayer meeting, and then at the end of the meeting, shot multiple people, and he killed 9 people, obviously racially motivated. He was a neo-Nazi. But there was, I don't know if you, headline news when at his sentencing, multiple families of the victims came forward. Did you see that? If you haven't watched it on YouTube, you really should. As each one of them, one by one, comes up and says, you've destroyed our lives, you've caused chaos, you've caused us such pain, but we forgive you. It was front page news. most people, I think, in our society would say, yeah, that's unforgivable. He's a mass murderer. And there, he offered no apologies, and those families came forward and said, we forgive you. Forgiveness is powerful. It speaks of the gospel. And so if you're someone who, through this evening, has recognized there's someone that you need to speak to because you've hurt them, I encourage you to seek them out this evening. If you're someone who has been wounded by someone else and they don't know and you've held on to it and you've wondered whether you should say something, I encourage you this evening to go and seek them out. Or maybe you're seeing some of these characteristics in someone else, that kind of public frustration, someone's talking of the damage of someone else, maybe you need to go and speak to them this evening and say, look, I encourage you to go and get that dealt with. The gospel is big enough to deal with our hurt, and forgiveness speaks the gospel beautifully. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the sweet gospel. We thank you that we've been forgiven so much. Father, I pray that in light of that, you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and work amongst us. Lord, I'm sorry for how many times I've wanted the Holy Spirit for a Holy Spirit experience so I can have an emotional worship time or I can feel your love. But we thank you, Lord, for the practicality of the Holy Spirit, that he fills us so we can forgive others. Pray that we would be people that hold short accounts with each other. Lord, help us to be people who keep no record of wrongs. Father, where this is so hard, is so difficult, we thank you that you will help us. Help us to forgive as we've been forgiven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.